Good evening and welcome to Shawmut Baptist Temple. Let's all stand as we, Brother Potts, would you open us with prayer, please? Amen. We're going to sing Draw Me Nearer, 324.
Draw me nearer, 324.
may be seated.
Good to be in the Lord's house tonight, and we have so much to be thankful for. And it's good to have Brother Travis back in the sound room there. Brother Travis is with First Baptist of Mission, and he's trying to get it figured out so that tomorrow night he can squeak and squawk his way through service. But anyhow, we have a lot to be thankful for. We need to really be praying for our sister church as they go through this time, everything will be taken care of at their place in a good, timely manner. They'll be able to get back in, and that God will give them wisdom to know what to do and how to do it at this point in their ministry. So I'm glad we can be a blessing and a help to them. Isaiah chapter 34. I got a super long title tonight. By the way, be praying for Brother Richard and Miss Leslie. They're in Topeka tonight. And so that's a blessing. Have them up there. And hopefully they'll be, raising support everywhere they go. And so here, next couple of months look really good. They need to really get the rest of that calendar filled out. So be praying for them, fast for them. And we'll ask God to do what only God can do. So the title tonight, Isaiah Prophecies of the Day of the Lord and of Israel's Restoration and Glory in the Kingdom. It's almost like Paul wrote, Paul writes, but anyhow, Isaiah prophesies of the Day of the Lord and of Israel's Restoration and Glory in the Kingdom. We'll be looking at Isaiah 34 and Isaiah 35. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for our time together tonight. We pray to God that you would meet with us, Lord, that you might minister to our hearts through your word, We thank you for the Bible you've given us, thankful for its help in our lives. And Lord, something written 1,000 years ago about the nation of Israel can still be a blessing to us today. And so we pray the Holy Spirit would just have power and freedom to move in our lives and our hearts, and use your word to mold us to be more like you. We thank you for Brother Travis being with us tonight. And we pray for our sister church there, First Baptist of Mission. Lord, we pray that you would have your hand of blessing upon them at this time. Lord, you'd meet all their needs, and might they come to the other side of this event, and might it be a real blessing. Might they have more, and might it be nicer, and might they be able to do more for the cause of Christ, and might they have money in the bank. Lord, we just pray those blessings upon them. And I pray that you would be at the people, that they not weary in well-doing, going different places to have church. Lord, I pray that they'd be faithful about that, that they'll not just click into the idea of it'd be easier to watch it, not have to get up and drive to a different location here, a different location there, Lord. Just bless them. They'll maintain their unity and their love for one another, and their devotion to you. We thank you for your goodness, your love to us. We ask these things in your name. Amen. And so we start off tonight in chapter 34. And we've only got a couple of points here, so that's good. But they're long points, so that's bad. But anyhow, we start with God's grievous punishment. God's grievous punishment. And it's the whole chapter of Isaiah chapter 34. And so we're just going to read a few verses here, the first four verses we get started tonight. It says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken. Ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree." So the first thing we notice here in these first four verses is a judgment upon all nations. And of course, this is part of the great tribulation where God's judgment is going to come. The children or the people of the world are going to come against God, and God's going to bring judgment. He's going to chastise them. He's going to punish them for rejecting him, for turning away from him. And this will come at the end of the great tribulation period, which are those 7 years following the rapture of the church. And this kind of is at the end of that. And then we end into Christ establishes kingdom, and we have the millennial reign. And so he's talking to them, and he says, this judgment's going to come. And it talks about the world's armies being destroyed in verses 1 and 2. "Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter." And so the Lord's anger is going to be brought down upon them. He's going to bring judgment upon them. He goes on and talks about in verse number 3 that the mountains will flow with the blood of unburied corpses. Matter of fact, there's reference to that of blood running the level of a bridle on a horse. And so there's going to be a lot of blood involved, a lot of unburied corpses. God, even in Ezekiel, I believe it is, he calls together the fowls of the world to come and the feast. And he talks about feasting upon kings and great rulers and the mighty. Come and join in the feast. These men who thought themselves smarter than God and better than God, and they shook their fist at God, they turned their back upon God, and now they're going to face the judgment of God. the bodies of the dead will be left unburied. The heavens will dissolve, and the stars will fall, and they will be like withered leaves and fruit falling from a tree. And so this judgment is going to come, and it's going to affect the entire world as it is known at that time. And then the second thing we see here is judgment upon one nation, verses 5 through 17. And it's doomed, the doomed nation is Edom. And so he talks about, he's got judgment for all the world, and then he's got this judgment that he's going to bring upon the nation of Edom. He says, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom and upon the people for my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, and it made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. And the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness." And so God's bringing his judgment down upon the nation of Edom. He's going to make them pay for the way they've rejected him and turned from him. We go on like verses like verse 9, "The streams thereof shall be turned into pitch." Can you imagine going down to a stream where you would normally get nice clear water, and all of a sudden it's black and tarish? It's like pitch. I just can't even imagine. "The dust thereof into brimstone, and the land shall become a burning pitch, and it'll just stink." And I just can't even imagine what that must be like. And verse 10, "And it shall not be quenched day nor night. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. For generation to generation shall I waste. None shall pass through it forever." It's going to be left as a testimony of this is what God's judgment is like when you reject him, when you walk away from him, when you won't have anything to serve him. And then we see the severity of God's judgment, verses 5 through 15. "Edom's people will be cut down like animals," verses 5 through 8. "And the Lord's sword will be covered with blood and fat as it is used for sacrifice. And the ground will be covered with fire," in verse number 9. "Even the streams will be filled with pitch, and the land will become desolate and uninhabited," and probably we might say uninhabitable during this judgment that God's going to bring. "And the surety of God's judgment," verses 16 and 17, he guarantees all this by putting it in writing. Look at verse 16. It says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot of them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein." And so God's surety of judgment, it's been written down, it's guaranteed, it's going to happen. By the way, all the end judgments guaranteed. Amen? All the end judgment. The great white throne judgment is guaranteed. Right there in Revelation chapter 22. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. It's this isn't some fantasy. This isn't some, you know, bad dream that someone had. It's a guarantee. It's written in the book of the Lord. It's a promise. It's going to happen. The millennial reign of Christ, it's a promise. It's going to happen. And the judgment that comes as a result when Satan is loose for a season and he raises the armies of people up against God, and God squelches that final rebellion, and then we enter into everlasting eternity. And those who will stand before God, and the books will be open, and they will be judged out of those books. And I just want you to know, if you're not ready to go to heaven, you need to get ready today, because this may be the last opportunity you have. You may never make it home. This may be the last opportunity. None of us know that we're going to go home, pillow our head, get up the next day and walk out and go to work. I mean, that's shown in the parable of the rich man. So I'm going to tear down my barns, better barns. Bigger barns, that's the word I was looking for, bigger. I'm going to tear them down. I'm going to put up bigger and better barns. And I'm going to have all this stuff. And God said, nah, tonight, your life's over. We've got to be careful how much we look forward to the future. You know, we can plan our whole life, but listen, if God has another plan, you're going to go His way. You may go kicking and screaming, but you're going to go His way. So the best thing we do is be ready to go with the Lord, to seek His leading in our lives and all that we do, that He might be honored and glorified in what we do with our lives. That brings us to our second point. And our second point here is God's glorious provision. It's all of chapter 35. And the good news is chapter 35 is only 10 verses. I like that. It helps me get my grasp on. You know, I can grasp 10 verses. I can handle those things. And so God's glorious provision here, verses 1 through 10. The first thing we see is the life in the perfect age, the characteristics. And we begin in verse number 2. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, and it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Man, what a promise. What, I mean, this would be great to be a part of. The desert's going to bloom. The desert where now they're pumping in water and blooming's happening, but it requires this water to be added. God's going to take care of it, and it's going to bloom everywhere. And the lame are going to walk, and the mute will shout and sing, and the blind will see. You know, I think that would be some of the most exciting things about heaven. Remember Brother Scott Bond, who came to our church for a long time? Brother Scott was in his wheelchair. I'd like to be in heaven when he kicked that thing out of the way and began to walk and leap. I mean, it's something we take for granted. And here he is. He'll be experiencing it. He hadn't been able to do that since he's about 18 years old. Man, what a deal. The blind will see. We take that for granted. We just go get in our cars and drive. And most of us can see while we're doing it. It's a pretty good deal. Some probably ought to have their license pulled, but most of us. The deaf will hear. Man, I'd love to have perfect hearing again, not have to rely on hearing aids. That'll be a blessing. But I'm talking about people who have never heard. They're going to hear that day. I can't even imagine how great it's going to be. And so it's going to be a wonderful time, a great time. And then the second thing to look at is life in the present age and the challenge. Verses 3 and 4. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The glorious fact of the coming millennium is going to serve as a strength to His people and a comfort to believers living through these difficult times. You know what serves as a strength for me today? Is the fact that I know this earth is not my home. I'm passing through. I'm going to a better place. Amen. They don't have elections up there, and it's not going to be a rigged deal. I mean, it's all taken care of. There's one ruler. His name is God. His son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins, that heaven might be my eternal home. I'm looking forward to going. I'm looking forward to leaving this place. And it's a glorious thing to know that I can look forward, and this is even hard to say, I can even look forward to death because of the freedom that it brings when I get to Glory Shore. But I'd much rather go on the rapture with all you. I like to be flying up through the air going, okay, they're here. I kind of wondered about that guy. No. It's going to be a glorious thing to be jerked off the ground and taken into the presence of the Lord. Listen, our hope is not here. Hallelujah, it's not here. It's not in this stimulus package. It's not. It's in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. It is. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for the truth of your word. We pray to God that you would take and have your will done in our lives and our hearts. We thank you to know that this is not our final place. This is not where we're going to spend eternity. We're glad to know that the grave holds no sting for the Christian. It cannot hold us back. It cannot hold us down. We know Christ is our Savior. Heaven's going to be our eternal home. We thank you for it. We thank you for the promise of the end of the millennial reign as it comes about at the end of this great judgment during the tribulation time. And what a blessing it's going to be for those people to persevere to get to that millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. Thank you for your word. How sweet it is. How important it is in our lives and our hearts. Might we seek to walk with it, love it, and to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. We ask these things in your wonderful, most precious name. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Lord, spoken to your heart, give you an opportunity to respond, however that might be. Whatever your need is tonight, you may come.
I hear the Savior say, shall awake, must watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Jesus, faith and all, all to him I owe. Sing and let the Christmas sing. He washed me by his
snow. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to go ahead and deal with our prayer requests. If you did not get one of these new ones,